Hello, this is Irene Bullard, and I'll be reading the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Tuesday, November 27th, 2018. Let's begin on the front page. Rivian unveils R1T electric pickup truck. Mike O'Grady thinks Rivian's R1T pickup truck will not only turn heads, but also change minds. We've always heard the negatives. They're never going to make it, he said, of the electric car startup that bought the former Mitsubishi Motors North America plant in Normal. But people here took a leap of faith with them, and we're starting to see the benefits. We're going to have believers now. Rivian, which plans to hire as many as 1,000 employees to manufacture electric adventure vehicles in the Twin Cities, unveiled its first model, 2,000 miles away, as the Los Angeles Auto Show revved up Monday. It's a great product. While niche, I think it's breaking some new ground in the automotive world, said Normal Mayor Chris Coos, who attended Rivian's event at the Griffith Observatory on Mount Hollywood. Rivian had been so silent because they were working out their business plan. They wanted to come out publicly with a stellar product, and I think they've done that. The company plans to reveal its R1S sport utility vehicle at an event today. O'Grady, interim CEO of the Bloomington Normal Economic Development Council, said local officials are talking to Rivian about showing off the vehicles in Bloomington Normal soon, possibly in January, said Coos. The truck is expected to travel between 250 and 400 miles on a single charge, depending on the model, and includes not only a truck bed, but a front trunk, and a gear tunnel for extra storage between the passenger doors and the rear tires. It's expected to tow up to 5,000 kilograms or more than 11,000 pounds. Rivian touted not only the vehicle's speedy start from 0 to 60 miles per hour in 3 seconds and 0 to 100 in 7, but also the skateboard platform that lets the vehicle elevate to avoid off-road obstacles. Coos said the town is among those who've already pre-ordered a vehicle. The R1T starts at $61,500 with 3 differently priced models depending on features and requires a $1,000 reservation payment, and it launches in 2020. I think it will fit into our fleet, and it's showing Rivian we appreciate that they're in our community and we're committed to them, said Coos. We're looking forward to showing it off in the community. Coos predicted the truck, which will be sold at a factory store in Normal, will be popular for Bloomington Normal residents despite the steep price tag. He noted many, including him, bought Mitsubishi's iMiEV electric sedan. The town has electric vehicle charging ports at Uptown Station. Coos and O'Grady said Rivian has already exceeded its benchmarks for a full property tax abatement at the plant for 2018. Investing $10 million and employing 35 people, the plant has 60 workers. Rivian has about 600 across not only Normal, but also facilities near Detroit, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. The company was required to hire 500 locally and invest $40.5 million by the end of 2021 to receive hundreds of thousands in local tax breaks, plus a $1 million Normal grant, and plans to hire 1,000 locally over a decade to receive about $50 million in state income tax credits. Coos said the company may employ 500 when it reaches full production in 2020. The R1T is expected to enter test production next year and full production the next, with the R1S to follow. It will never be as populated as the Mitsubishi plant, but it certainly will be high production, said Coos. Mitsubishi employed about 3,000 in Normal at its peak. The plant had 1,200 employees when it shut down in November 2015. Rivian paid $16 million for the plant in 2017. Companies who will be feeding materials to Rivian are starting to talk to the EDC about workforce and location. That could mean additional employment here, said O'Grady. It's an exciting day for the Bloomington Normal community, and only more good things are going to come from it. Council adopts tax on rentals. The Bloomington City Council voted unanimously Monday to adopt a 6% local tax on short-term housing rentals that are paid digitally to services like Airbnb that help travelers book places to stay in private homes. We think that it is leveling the playing field, said City Manager Tim Gleason. The council also approved preliminary tax levies for the city and library that likely will result in property owners seeing little or no change in the city's share of their tax bills in 2019. The new short-term housing rental tax, effective April 1st, will match a similar one that the Normal City Council adopted on November the 19th to address the disparity between applying a 6% tax to hotel and motel room rentals, but not to residential properties used for a similar purpose. Gleason said there are an estimated 110 sites in the Twin Cities that offer the Airbnb type rentals. The new tax could raise a combined $70,000 to $100,000 in new revenue for Bloomington and Normal. The hotels do endure quite a bit of fees for annual inspections that are required for hotels for the safety of our hotel guests, and we would just hope that eventually the ordinance would include that as well for both Bloomington and Normal Airbnbs or short-term rentals, said Michelle McConnell, general manager of the Holiday Inn Bloomington Airport, who addressed the council on behalf of the Bloomington Normal Hotel Lodging Association. Ward 9 Alderman Kim Bray suggested those inspections be required by the city, but that provision was not part of the measure passed by the council. Gleason said Normal is not requiring inspections. As this is implemented and we see what comes as a result of implementation early next year, next steps could follow, or there may be a level of satisfaction with what we have in place, he added. The council also adopted a proposed 2018 property tax levy of $20.28 million, which is up 1.09% from the 2017 levy of $20.06 million. The Bloomington Public Library also proposed a $4.871 million tax levy, up $48,236. About 1% from last year's amount. Together, the two levies total $25.15 million and are expected to yield a combined tax rate of $1.338 per $100 equalized assessed valuation, which is down slightly from $1.339 per $100 EAV for the prior year. The resulting property tax bill, payable in 2019 for those two levies, is expected to remain essentially unchanged at about $736 for a $165,000 house. With the 1.09% increase in the city levy, the estimated preliminary property tax rate would be $1.0789 per $100 of EAV. That is a slight decrease from the rate of $1.0797 per $100 EAV for taxes paid in 2018. The library's tax rate also is estimated to decline from 0.2596 cents per $100 of EAV, 2.2591 per $100 of EAV next year. Expected increases in the city's tax base from $1.85 billion to an estimated $1.880 billion are behind the projection of lower tax rates. The council also approved an agreement to purchase tasers, Axon body 2 cameras for the city's patrol officers, and 37 squad cars. Axon is offering Bloomington a 5-year contract for $753,583, which includes buying 100 new body-worn cameras and 19 docking stations, equipping the squad cars with 2 cameras each, one rear-facing and one front-facing, maintenance software, and data storage. Alderman also approved refinancing, $11.845 million in general obligation bonds. The city is expected to save $1.028 million by combining 2005 and 2007 bond issues into one refunding that would be paid off 3 years earlier than the original debt, Bloomington Finance Director Scott Rathbun said. Daily Digest. Health Insurance Event Set. Illinois Department of Insurance will have a Get Covered Illinois informational meeting from 4 to 6 p.m. Wednesday at Chestnut Health Systems, 1003 Martin Luther King Drive in Bloomington. Information will be provided and questions will be answered regarding the Health Insurance Marketplace open enrollment period. Today in History. Today is Tuesday, November 27th, the 331st day of 2018. There are 34 days left in the year. Today's highlight. On November the 27th, 1924, Macy's first Thanksgiving Day parade, billed as a Christmas parade, took place in New York City. On this date in 1901, the U.S. Army War College was established in Washington, D.C. In 1910, New York's Pennsylvania Station officially opened. In 1942, during World War II, the Vichy French Navy scuttled its ships and submarines in Toulon to keep them out of the hands of German troops. Today's Flick Fact. Question: can you name the city in central Illinois that is considered the birthplace of the souvenir picture postcard? Is it A. Danville, B. Decatur, C. Bloomington, or D. Mason City? And the answer is, the souvenir picture postcard is said to have been invented, in quotes, in Bloomington in 1895. It is said to have helped make a millionaire of the man who came up with the idea, C.U. Williams. An entrepreneur and consummate salesman, Williams also was the man who in 1911 opened a 4-story automobile showroom at 207 East Washington in downtown Bloomington. That building still stands and is the Castle Theater, and adjoining arch-roofed building west of it that is commercial space and loft apartments. Teen to stay in custody. Judge rules stabbing suspect to be held while case is pending. A 16-year-old Bloomington boy accused of stabbing another youth Saturday at a park in Normal will remain in the county juvenile detention center while his case is pending, a judge ruled Monday. At a hearing in juvenile court, Associate Judge Brian Goldrick ruled the teen's criminal history and the violent nature of the new allegations did not justify the boy's release to his parents. Goldrick noted the juvenile is currently on probation on another offense not disclosed in court. The minor is accused of stabbing another 16-year-old in the back. Police were called to Anderson Park shortly before 5 p.m. Saturday, where they found the victim near the playground with non-life-threatening injuries. Authorities said the two teens were acquainted. Defense lawyer Art Feldman told the judge, the boy's parents, including his father who was in court, are willing to have him return home. Home confinement or electric monitoring would be appropriate for the minor, said Feldman. Assistant State's Attorney Samantha Wally argued against releasing the youth, saying the stabbing involved the use of a deadly weapon by the teen who does not attend school on a regular basis. Dressed in a gray sweatsuit, the teen sat at the defense table and read court documents handed to him at the start of the hearing. He spoke briefly with his father after the hearing, before he was escorted back to the detention center. A December 21st bench trial is scheduled on the charges that would be Class 3 felonies in adult court. The teen is eligible for a transfer of his case to adult court, but the state has not filed a petition asking that the matter be moved to adult court. The pantograph does not name juveniles in such cases. Cold temps sticking around. Low temperatures will stick around for a few days, a cold reminder of the late November snowstorm that disrupted Monday morning routines for central Illinois residents. The storm closed schools, including McLean County Unit 5, which reversed an early decision to start classes an hour later. Bloomington District's 87 schools were open, but schools farther north, such as Colfax-based Ridgeview, Lexington, Pontiac, and Fairbury-based Prairie Central, shut down for the day. Many others, including Downs-based Tri-Valley, Stanford-based Olympia, and the Catholic schools in Bloomington Normal, started an hour later than usual. Low temperatures this time of year normally should be around 30 degrees, but the mercury was expected to fall into the low teens or even single digits overnight Monday, especially in the northern portion of the central Illinois area where deeper snow is on the ground. The overnight low will be around 12 degrees, but the wind chill values will be near zero, said Chris Gielhart, a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Lincoln, for this time of year that's unusually cold. Higher temperatures will return by the end of the week, along with another chance of rain or snow, but by that time, afternoon highs that should reach 40 degrees should melt most of the snow that has fallen in the area. That break should give snowplow and tow truck drivers a break. Their day started early Monday morning, and most roads in the area were reportedly clear by noon. Electricity crews from Ameren, Illinois, and Corn Belt Energy also were busy, with several outages throughout the state. High winds, ice, and snow throughout the Corn Belt service territory resulted in damage to several substations, broken poles, and many downed lines, Communications Director Hillary Cherry said. Although more than half of the outages had been restored by Monday night, 729 Corn Belt members remained without power, Cherry reported. As of right now, all of the outages in the Bloomington Normal area have been restored, she said. Most of the remaining damage is in the northern part of the Corn Belt service territory, which includes portions of LaSalle and Marshall County, she said. OSF Healthcare St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington treated one person injured in a weather-related vehicle crash Sunday and two more people Monday, said spokeswoman Libby Allison. All three people were treated in the emergency department and released. Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal and Advocate Eureka Hospital in Eureka saw no significant increase in patients because of the weather, said spokeswoman Lynn Hutley. Other central Illinois hospitals reported no weather-related emergency department visits or inpatients. The Twin Cities were lucky compared to other communities. While escaping most of the snow, officials in Lincoln are continuing to have issues related to an Illinois American Water facility that was struck by lightning Sunday night. The facility lost power, and residents were urged to conserve water usage. A boil order is now in effect. In other parts of the state, Knox County was hit the hardest, with more than 13 inches reported in some portions of the county. Galesburg saw 11.5 inches, according to the National Weather Service in Lincoln. About 5 inches of snow was reported in Peoria. The 13.1 inches of snow that fell in McHenry County north of Chicago was the most in the region. The National Weather Service's 11.7 inches fell in Rockford, a total that shattered the record for a single day in November. The 7.4 inches of snow at O'Hare International Airport prompted the cancellation of more than 800 flights Monday, on top of the 700 canceled Sunday. At Midway International Airport, where 4.9 inches fell, 69 flights were canceled Monday. Water emergency declared in Lincoln. The city of Lincoln remains under a declared water emergency following a Sunday afternoon lightning strike at a water treatment plant, but officials hope to restore full service by Wednesday. The city has limited water service now, and officials are asking residents to refrain from using water unless absolutely necessary, and to boil any water they do use for drinking or cooking. We are still under a water emergency, Fire Chief Mark Miller said in a news conference Monday. Conserve water. Try not to do laundry. Minimize showers and baths because we have to keep water in the fire suppression systems in case we have an emergency. Heavy water usage will put a strain on the water system that is under stress right now, he said. Be patient. In case of a fire, tankers from out of town will be used, Miller said, adding the department has about 10,000 gallons available with which to start fighting fires. Customers should bring their tap water to a rolling boil for 5 minutes before using the water for drinking or cooking, said Karen Cotton, Illinois American Water spokeswoman. Water is okay for bathing and washing or other common uses. Customers should continue to conserve water usage until further notice. A thunderstorm rolled through the Lincoln area about 4 p.m. on Sunday. We had a severe lightning strike on the south side of town near the water plant, Miller said. About 7:30 p.m. Sunday, officials from Illinois American Water, the city's water company, reported to Miller that a water emergency was imminent and the city would lose water pressure for fire suppression and drinking water. Water emergency plans were activated immediately at Abraham Lincoln Memorial Hospital in Lincoln and the Logan County Emergency Management Agency. Right at about an hour, we lost all water in Lincoln, he said. We had zero water. Staff from Illinois American Water confirmed they had a direct hit to the main pumping facility in Lincoln and lost the high-pressure pump system, the low-pressure pump system, and two wells that feed the system. Officials with the water company, Logan County EMA, and the fire department worked through the night to shuttle water from Lincoln Lakes on the city's south side to vital facilities such as the hospital and to Arda Glass, a glass manufacturing plant in Lincoln. It could have been a catastrophic event there if we didn't have water to cool the furnaces at the glass plant, Miller said. The issues with the drinking water forced the cancellation of classes at Lincoln Community High School, the Lincoln West Lincoln Broadwell, and Chester East Lincoln School Districts, and Zion Lutheran School. American Water has been delivering bottled water to nursing homes, care facilities, and the schools in hopes they can be in operation today, Miller said. Mayor Seth Goodman praised officials for their efforts. Fire Chief Mark Miller, Gabriel Bowden with Illinois American Water, and Dan Fulcher, Logan County EMA Director, these are three of the main guys, as well as their teams, that I would like to commend over and over, Goodman said. They have not slept, yet still continue to work together with local schools, colleges, nursing homes, and the hospital to ensure that all needs are met with marginal water usage. Abuse, neglect allegations dropped against father. Abuse and neglect charges filed in civil court against a Bloomington father accused of seriously injuring his infant daughter have been dropped by the state, a move that allows the family to be reunited while he challenges criminal charges related to the allegations. In May, Matthew Everly was charged in criminal court with aggravated battery to a child, domestic battery, and reckless conduct. The two-week-old girl suffered two broken legs and a broken arm, according to the charges. A separate case was filed in child welfare court related to the baby's injuries. The medical issues were discovered by the parents, who sought medical attention, according to authorities. The baby was living at home with her mother, who did not face criminal charges. Everly was allowed supervised visitation but has returned home since dismissal of the abuse charges in the civil case that was dropped by the state on November 15th without assigning any responsibility to the father. No reason was given for the state's decision. On November the 19th, Judge Casey Costigan lifted restrictions that barred Everly from having contact with children outside his family. The ruling came in response to a request from defense lawyer Scott Cording to have the limitations removed. Cording said the restrictions that were a condition of Everly's release on bond have made it difficult for the 26-year-old, a former associate pastor of worship at Eastview Christian Church in Normal, to secure employment. The state opposed the request to have the no-contact orders lifted. Everly has denied the allegations that could send him to prison for 60 years if convicted on the most serious of the charges. A December 20th bench trial is scheduled on the criminal charges. Owner says 11 dogs die in Springfield house fire. A Springfield home sustained heavy damage in a fire Sunday afternoon, and 11 dogs died, according to the home's owner. It took firefighters a little more than 4 hours to extinguish the fire at the roughly 6,000-square-foot house. Firefighters were called a little after 1 p.m., according to Brandon Blau, the Springfield Fire Department Deputy Chief of Operations. Only the dogs were at home at the time. The owner, Karen Bartle, or rather Bertle, 65, lived in the home for 6 years, she said. As the owner of American Medical Supply and Service Company in Verdon, Bertle had woken up early and was out of her house before 5 a.m. She said she spent the day taking care of a hospice patient in Edinburgh. She was about to return home when she decided to shop for Christmas presents. She was in her car near the store when she got a call from her next-door neighbor. "I thought the damn dogs must be out again," Bertle said, of her first thought when she saw the call. Instead, her neighbor informed her that her house was on fire. Panicked, Bertle drove home while calling her 4 kids to tell them about the fire. She found out her daughter, who lived next door to her, wasn't home and had not seen any smoke when she left around 12:30 p.m. "Seeing everything she owned burn was not an unfamiliar feeling," said Bertle. 12 years ago, the building that housed her business burned to the ground. The cause of the fire was never known, though the building had been old, she said. Bertle pushed through and was back in business the same day. She said she went and bought equipment and computers and continued work out of her secretary's home. "I lost everything, but I didn't lose my patience," Bertle said. "I am a strong person. I just hope some of my pictures of my babies are left, because those cannot be replaced." According to Blau, the home is not inhabitable. The cause of the fire is still under investigation, he said. In responding to the call, firefighters could see black plumes of smoke, said Fire Chief Alan Rain. Upon arrival, the firefighters found heavy fire coming from the back of the home, and the floors were beginning to collapse, he added. 8 vie for 3 Normal council seats. Normal residents will have twice as many choices for city council seats in 2019 as they did 2 years ago. After 4 candidates ran in 2017, meaning only one was not chosen for 3 open seats, next year's race stands to be much more competitive, with 8 on the April 2nd ballot for 3 positions. The petitions filing ended Monday. The candidates are in alphabetical order: Alex Campbell, an Illinois State University student and president of the Assembly for the ISU Student Government Association. Campbell had not publicly announced a run before filing petitions on Monday. Kathleen Lorenz, a Normal City Council member since 2015 and executive director of Leadership Illinois, a not-for-profit women's professional development organization. R.C. McBride, a council member since 2015 and general manager at WGLT-FM in Normal. Stan Nord, owner of TSS Storage, a Bloomington remote storage company. Dave Shields, a Normal Planning Commission member and State Farm employee. Karen Smith, an Illinois State University business teacher. Joel Studebaker, a Normal Library Board member and Democratic activist. And Pat Turner, Outreach Director for Center of Hope Ministries in Bloomington. Normal City Council members serve at large, meaning they can live anywhere in town and represent the entirety of the town. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph. Please stay tuned.